this is Gary Thompson, and I'm here today with Randy Abrams, and we're on air with the Malware Report. Randy, I understand that you were the chairman of the AVAR conference on antivirus and malware threats just 2 weeks ago. Can you give me a little overview of that organization?
Yes, I was honored to be the chairman of the 9th International AVAR Conference. And AVAR is an organization that's dedicated to preventing the spread and damage from computer malware. And the mission statement also says to foster cooperation amongst researchers in Asia. However, that mission statement's about 8 years old, and AVAR truly fosters cooperation among researchers throughout the entire world.
What were some of the highlights of what was discussed at this conference?
There were actually a ton of really good topics. The highlight of any of these conferences really is the networking, the people that you meet, and being able to achieve the goal of more cooperation to help combat the threats. Some of the topics, like threats from gadgets, were quite interesting. We had researchers that were sharing information on things like runtime packers, which are a real problem for anti-malware products, as well as rootkit technologies. So it really covered a lot more than just malware, but all kinds of security threats, even mobile devices and RFID tags.
And how do people put this information to use in the real world?
Part of it is looking at what other people are seeing in terms of trends. Nobody has time to be an expert on everything, but at the same time, you have to understand what things you need to be aware of. For management in a security company, they need to have an idea of where to focus resources. You know, is this a big problem now? Should I just be aware of it and plan in the future? For researchers, the antivirus industry is fairly unique in that while the marketing competes on the front line vigorously, behind the scenes, the researchers really are eager to help each other. They're not going to say exactly how they do certain things, but they'll give information about how things can be accomplished, and a smart person can figure out from there how to implement it.
Well, one of the questions I had regards trends from Asia. We've heard a lot about malware coming out of Eastern Europe, especially malware that's being paid for. Are you seeing similar trends in Asia Pacific?
Well, that was a very interesting presentation by Jeff Williams from Microsoft, and Jeff had a lot of information from users who use Windows Update and download the malicious software removal tool. And so what he was showing is that it makes a difference what region you're in as to what the prevalent threats are. So, for example, in Japan, there was a virus called Antony, which spread on Wini, which is a peer-to-peer network that only exists in Japan. So while there was a very high rate of infection from Antony, nobody else in any other region saw it. In the United States, some of the biggest threats were from adware that is directed towards the United States. So even in Canada, which is part of North America, and in Mexico, also part of North America, you didn't see the same kind of prevalence of threats. And his paper actually covered most of the Pacific Rim, and it was just showing the difference regions make both in terms of software that runs specifically in a certain country or on a certain language operating system, and targets such as targeting American customers or targeting customers in Australia.
Well, that's when will we see the results of this in commercial products, or does it take years or months, or how swiftly can this information turn around into something that an IT manager can use?
Well, having access to the information is something an IT manager can make some use of virtually immediately. Understanding what the threats they're up against are is very important. For researchers, it's important to know which labs need to be supplying information about different regional threats. So while you're probably not going to see a product, Nod 32, for the Japanese market only other than by language, we'll understand that there are certain issues that we need to keep our finger on the pulse of so that our product is global and covers threats. Even if they aren't the highest one in one market, they could be in another market.
Yeah, this sounds like it'd make it very difficult to get one product that's going to cover all the potential pieces of malware that are out there, which is, I'm sure, why the conference is very helpful for those who are attending. One of the things I noticed in the title of the conference, Digital Security Prevention to Prosecution, what was discussed as it relates to prosecution? Are people getting tougher around the world regarding malware?
Yes, the title or theme for the conference was specifically chosen because the day of just a pure antivirus conference is gone. They're security conferences, and we wanted to encourage submission from not only researchers, but academia and government as well. Part of fighting the malware problem is getting governments to work cooperatively. And so, for example, one of the government officials from New Zealand had the keynote address, and he discussed some of the ways that New Zealand is working with other governments throughout the world and allowing researchers and academia access to the people who are working on these intergovernment programs is very important because it really is a partnership across all the spectrums, including research and government.
Well, you know, one of the things that's been in the news a lot is the idea of social engineering. Are these governments concerned about the fact that, there is going to be a spread of virus and malware in general, like we've seen over the Internet, but in this case through peer-to-peer situations and, again, more social interaction?
Yes, definitely. However, it's a very difficult problem because what it comes down to is an individual trusting another individual who they probably shouldn't trust and then actively executing malicious code or actively giving away confidential information that is then used for identity theft, bank fraud, and other forms of crime. So it's definitely something the governments are concerned about. And that's a problem that governments need to tackle in terms of legislation, both internally and treaties internationally, so that you have things like extradition, you have different crime departments from different countries working together. Because it isn't that someone in the U.S. performs social engineering against someone else in the U.S. It could be someone in the U.S. against someone in France, or someone in England against someone in Mexico. So you can't prosecute those people if you don't have the information sharing to find them and the laws to be able to go after them in the appropriate jurisdictions.
This may or may not have been a topic of the conference, but I'm curious about whether or not any of the individuals there talked about or thought about a cyber war. Clearly, the U.S. is embroiled in a war with Iraq, but considering the fact that the country is not overly sophisticated when it comes to computing, it's not really a huge cyber threat. But I could see where some other countries might pose some significant problems for us. I mean, do you see that, or was that discussed at all at the conference?
That really wasn't discussed. That's really probably a topic for a more specific type of conference. Although a cyber war still is fought using hackers, malicious code, security breaches, and so in fighting against a cyber war, a lot of the tactics are the same. It's a matter of more importance on who is the enemy, what are they after, and things like that.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, Andy, you know I'm one of the big gadget freaks in the country here, and my eye was caught by one of the topics, threats from gadgets. What should I be worried about?
Well, that was a great paper by Eric Chen from Symantec. And gadgets, there's Yahoo widgets, which evolved from a product called Confabulator. Google has gadgets. And now with Vista, the sidebar technology will host gadgets. And the interesting thing is that the gadgets are written in scripting languages like JavaScript, Visual Basic Script, and they can actually interact with each other. So at least in theory, it's possible for a gadget to infect another gadget. If you have a gadget that has contact with your Yahoo Finance portfolio, another gadget can use that gadget to get information from it. So it sounds really scary, but Vista does have some new security technologies that to some extent limit the scope, but it doesn't mean that it isn't a threat. And so people will have to be aware that anywhere you're running active code, and gadgets are active code, there are going to be some security issues to be mindful of. And Microsoft had several people at the conference and saw the presentation, and I know they're thinking carefully about what they can do to mitigate the risks.
Yeah, it sounds like I will not be deterred from buying the latest gadget, I've got to tell you, but unfortunately, I can see where I'm going to be vulnerable down the road to threats. We just barely touched on what are a number of subjects at that conference. Is there any place that our listeners can go to get more information on the conference?
Well, right now, I've just posted a blog about the conference at ESET's website, and I'm going to work to gather links from all the presenters to their presentations. So I'll have a comprehensive list of links to the various presentations that the speakers are willing to publish, and we can refer listeners to the actual papers so that they can read the actual information. And people are going to be interested in different things. Some of the presentations are highly technical, like binary feature extraction and comparison. If you're not an antivirus researcher, it's probably not going to be of great interest to you. However, if you are, it's a very interesting paper. Other presentations, like the emergence of ransomware, software that will encrypt your data and demand payment to get it back, is interesting to a wide variety of people, and it's a threat people need to know about. So I'll try to get the list of all the topics as well as links to the websites where they're being hosted at up on the ESET blog for the listeners.
That's great, Randy. Thanks very much. Now, I'm hoping that if any of our listeners have additional questions that spring up either from looking at that material or just from today's discussion, that they could contact you and perhaps ask a question for our next podcast. Would it be possible for you to share your email address for our listeners?
Sure. It's Abrams, A-B-R-A-M-S, at ESET.com.
Great. Well, thanks, Randy. It's good to talk to you as always. This is Gary Thompson and Randy Abrams for the Malware Report.